introduce myself briefly. My name is Robbie James. This is my beautiful wife, Cynthia, my son, Braden, my daughter, Brooke. And I grew up in a place called Levelland, Texas. Is anybody familiar with Levelland, Texas? Okay, I'm sorry. It's a good place to be from, though. Yeah. And we also lived in the Dallas area for a while. Cynthia and I met and were married at Lubbock Christian University between our sophomore and junior year. And we will have been married 21 years this coming summer. And so after we graduated from from Lubbock Christian, we moved off and worked at a children's home for about 8 years directing ministry. And Cynthia was a counselor and caseworker. We both did master's degrees, mine from Abilene, and Cynthia's from University of Texas in Arlington. And God began to stir all sorts of new things for us in ministry, and eventually we became church planters in the Denver, Colorado area, and did that for a number of years, where for about four of those 8 years, I moonlighted as a hospice chaplain full-time, and so that was actually fantastic, beautiful ministry. And eventually, we just didn't see each other enough. I was working two full-time jobs and a part-time job, and they wanted to see me, which that's good. And I wanted to see them too. And come on in, man. And so what we decided to do was to ask the Lord what we could do together as a family. And so after asking him that for a while, he came up with a list for us of things that we felt like he would like us to do together as a family, and we were excited about that. But then we decided to do those things. We needed a camp or a retreat center, and so about 2 months later, God moved us from Colorado to California, and we're the directors at a camp and retreat center just north of Yosemite in the Sierra Nevada mountains, where we will have been for 3 years this month. And so that has been fantastic. For the course of the last 3 years while we've been there, I've also been working and then completed my doctorate of ministry. And for those 3 years, my primary focus was on discipleship. And uniquely, discipleship, as we're transformed in the context of adventure through encountering Jesus. Can I just be real vulnerable and honest all the way through class? Is that okay? Okay, good. Good, because I don't really do it well any other way. By the way, when we moved up to the mountains, I refused to wear a shirt with a button on it for a full year. And so this kind of is dressed up for us. If I'm wearing a shirt, I'm dressed up. So you're glad I'm dressed up, right? But we've had the unique opportunity to really think about discipleship in a different context. And just a few nights ago, I was up late with the Lord. We were in our dorm that we were in as a family, and I was talking with God about what he wanted to give today. And there was a season of sitting there that I felt this real compelling to just pour out all my 3 years of research all over you guys, just kind of throw it up on you. And then I realized people don't really like to be thrown up on. And I don't like to throw up either. And so I checked my heart about that, and I realized that what was behind that was this pressure that I felt to come in and dazzle you with innovative research and fresh definitions of things, and to talk to you about, inspiring data, and to tell you stories that would cause you to cry and all this stuff. And I realized what I kind of wanted to do was to impress you. And then, have you ever felt something like that, and then you hear Jesus laughing? Ever? Right? And he's got a great laugh, by the way. And most of the time he laughs with us, but sometimes it's at us. And so he was laughing at me, right? And I remembered, I don't care if you're impressed. I just want you to be transformed. And so today I just want to give you what I have to give you. And that's just Jesus. So I come to you as a novice, a simple person that's in love with Jesus and wants to share him with you. So, let me ask, how many of you know about Jesus? Yeah? Good. Most of you, some of you are like, is that a trick question? You're Captain Obvious, right? Now, how many of you know Jesus? Now, this is the important one. How many of you want to know Jesus more? We do an adventure retreat at our place, and I'll give it away, but if you come, pretend like you don't know that we do this. And we take everybody out the first day, and we read this passage where, remember when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and Peter's like, no, you can't wash my feet. What are you doing? And he says, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have any part of me. And remember what Peter says? Oh, then my head and my head. Basically says, then wash all of me then, because I'm all in, right? And so we go and we read and meditate on this passage and we write some things. And then I take them over, and there's a beautiful South Fork River that flows right by our property. And we stand out on this rock and we look over, and then I give everyone the opportunity to make a declaration that they're all in. Do you know how they make that declaration? They jump in. And it's kind of cold, you know? Like, take your breath away cold. And so there's a moment of really deciding, am I all in? So I want to ask you, in the absence of cold water, you're like, is he going to a cup of water? Are you in? I know better than the water, right? She's ducking, you're getting her, right? So today I just want to invite you to be all in. All in. Because we're gonna go after Jesus, the one who's been going after us, and we're gonna pursue him face to face today. We're gonna get into the very heart of discipleship, which I believe is always being with Jesus. So let's close our eyes. We're just going to talk with Jesus for a few minutes. So just in your own mind, just tell him you love him. Just tell Jesus you love him. Now say it out loud. Just say, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
That feels good to say, doesn't it? So, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we just want to be more like you. Jesus, we love you. Now say it with me. Jesus. Don't be shy, guys. Say, Jesus. Let this be our prayer. Say, Jesus. We love you. Jesus. We want to be more like you. Jesus, we want to be with you. Jesus, we invite your presence. We ask you to do whatever you want. We trust you. Jesus, we trust you. We entrust ourselves to you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you.
as we start today, it's so important that we start in this place where you know who you are. Not who you're told you are, not who you've been, not who the accuser says you are, not the product of the worst moments of your existence, but who God today, in this moment, says that you are, that we start at that place today. So say this with me. Say, I am not a sinner.
I am not a sinner.
I am a saint.
I am a saint.
That's what God says, right? He says, you are a saint. So let's say it again. I am not a sinner.
I am not a sinner.
I am a saint.
I am a saint.
I am not rejected.
I am not rejected.
I am fully accepted.
I am fully accepted.
I am not condemned.
I am not condemned.
I am not condemned.
I am not condemned.
I am not condemned. I am completely forgiven.
I am not unwanted.
I am not unwanted.
I have been chosen by the King.
I am not overlooked.
I have been adopted.
I have been adopted. I am not a beggar, living on scraps.
I am His child
and a co-heir with Christ.
I am not full of guilt.
I am not full of shame.
I am not filled with fear.
But I am holy.
I am righteous.
I am filled with courage.
I am empowered by the Spirit of God.
I am empowered by the Spirit of God
who lives in me
and is now at work in us.
I am not unloved.
I am not unloved.
I am loved.
I am unconditionally loved.
I am unwaveringly loved.
I am unfailingly loved.
I am the beloved.
I am the beloved.
I am the beloved.
Such good news. We are who He says we are. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that right now in this moment I get to look out at your beautiful face. Hi.
I was just thinking out about you.
I'm Robbie. What's your name?
I'm Shirley. What's your name?
Robbie.
I've been looking for you. Here I am.
Here we are, Shirley.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
I can tell that you're a blessing to every life.
All right. You want to have fun? That's when you say, no, that's okay. You came to a class with adventure in the title, all right? Now, you know, being from West Texas, you were thankful that you had classes inside, right? You know, it's kind of almost borderline sinful to be at Pepperdine and be inside, right? But we are, and we're staying inside. So, okay. Now then, but what I want to invite you to do, very simply, is I want you to pair up with someone that you don't know.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I want you to find somebody you don't know, and just stand, sit beside them, whatever. Go.
Okay. I'm Shirley.
And I'm not very mobile, so.
Oh, yes! And so it's hard for you to separate this way. What are you trying to outline?
All right. Has everybody found their partner? Raise your hand if you've got a partner. Very good. Now then, all except for you two gorgeous ladies, let's just one. I need everybody to face each other. You guys can face each other. So face each other. And then I want you this no, I'm stand up and face each other. Come on. You guys stay down. That's fine.
Okay.
No, you're always there.
Well, you can't stand.
Well, then sit
with
her.
So that means I have
there, sit with her. Okay, now then. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to stand about a foot apart. Okay. Now, hang on. Is there? We have three over there. Brayden will volunteer to be a partner with somebody. Go back there, buddy.
Oh, right. I wanted to.
All right. Okay. Now then, now that you're standing apart, about a foot apart, facing a person that you do not know, I want you to gaze lovingly into their eyes. No, don't look at me. Gaze. And when you feel uncomfortable, you can raise your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Immediately. Oh my goodness. No, just look into each other. Hey, you look into your eyes, buddy. All right. No. See, you are breaking the tension by talking. I just want you to look lovingly into each other's eyes in silence.
So,
everybody, silence. 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 Just look. Just look. Good. All right. Now, that's kind of risky, right? That's kind of adventurous. Now, I want you to lean toward each other. No, I'm just kidding. I did not know it was this kind of
stuff.
Okay.
I know. I have to watch my husband.
Right. You're like, honey, come back over here. All right. Okay, so this is what I want you to do. You can take just a little bit of a step back. Okay. And now this is what we're going to do. Remember, discipleship is all about intimacy with Jesus, right? At its core, discipleship is about being more than doing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be with Jesus now, okay? And so I just want, if you can, just close your eyes now. You're like, thank you. Because I don't have to look anymore. So close your eyes. And just put your hands out in front of you, kind of like you're expecting to receive a gift. I love gifts, by the way. So if any of you on your way out. So just like you're expecting a gift, okay? And now, I want us to imagine that we're here together. We're in this room. You're standing uncomfortably close to someone you don't know. And the thing you want more than any other thing in the world is for Jesus to come in. So I just want you out loud, say, Jesus, I invite you to come.
Jesus, I invite you to come.
Now notice that he's come into the room. See him. And out of everyone here, when he comes in, he looks and he sees you. You. And his eyes lock on your eyes. And you notice he's walking up to you. And he's not angry. He is so happy. And now he's standing in front of you. And he loves you. And he loves the person standing in front of you. So now I just want you to ask him, say, Jesus, let me feel your affection for the person standing in front of me. Now say, Jesus, tell me what you see when you see this person across from me. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, open your eyes. Now, one of you can start, and I want you to tell the person across from you what Jesus told you about them, about who they are. And once you tell them, I want you to pray for them. Just bless them with that. Just pray into them with that. When you bless them, put your hand on them if they're okay with it. Just pray it into them. Just pray it in. Pray it in. I Pray it in. Sit down, and I want you to turn your piece of paper over, and I want you to just take a few minutes, just in silence, literally 3 minutes. 3 minutes, just in silence, and I want you to write down, just write down your experience here, except for the very last thing. You're going to save that last thing till we're finished. The one thing you're just going to save. 3 minutes. You would barely get the tip of it. Is that good? In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has already done so much. He's cast out demons. He's taught the multitudes. He's already healed the paralytic that was lowered down. He saw a withered hand become stretched out and restored. It says that the town brought everyone to him, and they were healed. That's Jesus.
Jesus. chapter 3, after he's already done all these things, says that Jesus went up to the mountains. And being from West Texas, I never really understood what that meant. But now I'm appreciative because I know what it's like to go up on the mountainside. And Jesus went up on the mountainside, and then he did something that was wild. It says that he called those whom he wanted to come and be with him. Wouldn't that be the greatest invitation of all time? So Jesus goes away. He escapes the crowds, and then he calls those he wants to come and be with him. And do you know why he called them to come be with him? Because he wanted to be with them. He wanted to spend time. He wanted to be with them. And in being with them, it says that he told them who they were. He designated some to be apostles. In the depth of deep relationship, loving, intimate relationship, Jesus says, this is who you are. And then it says that he sent them out to do the very thing the text says that he's been doing. The exact same words. In Mark 1:39, it says that Jesus went to all the synagogues and he preached and he cast out demons. So he was going to the synagogues and casting out demons, right? That's kind of heavy, right? So it says he went and preached and he cast out demons. And so in this text, he calls those he wants to be with him so that they can be with him. He tells them who they are, and then he sends them out to preach and gives them authority to cast out demons. Adventure discipleship is just what you all do. It is being intentional about positioning yourself to be with Jesus. And then it's asking Him to do through you what's impossible for you to do through yourself. Got such good news for you today. And it's that Jesus asks you to come and be with Him, and then He gives you everything you need to be like Him. And as we become like Him, we get to do the things Jesus did. So today you got to stand before Jesus and invite Jesus to come. And you got to ask Him about a stranger standing in front of you who suddenly wasn't a stranger anymore. You got to experience His affection for another person. And in the place of that affection and love, Jesus gave their heart to you. Why? Not for you. Because He wanted that person in front of you to know how much He loves them. And you got to tell Him. And then you know what? You got to be told how much Jesus loves you. Because He knows you. And He might just love another person enough to tell them who you are. So that you can know He loves you. The crazy thing that we would do with adventure discipleship is we would start with an experience like that. Something that was impossible for us to do on our own, that Jesus had to do for us to do it, right? And then we would talk about what happened. And we would have crazy fun conversations. Like I would get together with a group, and in the first 5 minutes I would say, leave, go. Leave for an hour. Go wherever you would normally go. But what I want you to do is to love people. Go love people. If you're going to go run errands or go eat or go get coffee or go to the grocery store, go love people. And then come back and tell us what happened. What did it look like to love? What did God do? How did the person respond? And they came back with amazing, miraculous stories. Like they went, so a couple went over and they went to grab something to eat. And as they're just paying attention to God, God shows them this person in front of them. This single mom with three kids. And they said, you know what? Can we just buy your dinner? And the mom just broke down, buried her head in their chest. They got to bless her. Another, this was a funny one. Another, one of our couples went and they had no idea what to do, like many of us, right? So we're going to wash windows at the car wash, right? So this guy comes out and they're washing, he's all, hey! You know, we're loving you, right? And so they got to have this really cool encounter, right? Because they were just willing to serve. Another couple didn't really know where they were going to go, so they just kind of asked the Lord and felt prompted to go to a homeless camp that's just right outside of the town. So they walk into this place that you're not supposed to walk into. And they sit with this group of people who are living in tents and just on the ground. And they just begin to talk. And one of them says, yeah, we're doing okay. My back has been killing me. And they said, well, let me pray for your back. They pray for her back. And she goes, it doesn't hurt anymore. And they sat and they just prayed with the group. Later on, they came back and they brought them all pizza, right? One of the girls, college girl, was struggling with these desperate, loathing, self-loathing thoughts. The kind that the enemy wants us to have about ourselves instead of the truth of who God says we are. We've been there, right? But she was cutting herself and had been for 4 years. Couldn't stop it. So we sat with her. And she was fidgeting the whole time. She had a pen. And the whole time she was talking and telling us what was going on, and she just fidgeted. She fidgeted. So I said, well, when did this start? She told us where it started. And where were you? And remember the first time? And she just fidgeted. I said, now I want you to go to that place in your mind. She fidgeted. And I said, now look at everything around you. And she fidgeted. Remember how you felt? And she just kept fidgeting. I said, now I want you to invite Jesus to come into that room with you. She fidgeted. I said, now ask him what he wants to tell you. She sat there. For 5 minutes. And then she opened her eyes, and tears streamed down her face, and she said, he loves me. He told me he loves me. Just a few months later, we took her out to go love people. And sometimes I pay attention to the Lord, and I think I hear something, and I'm way off, right? So I saw a woman in the grocery store we were in, and I walked up and I said, do you have like something going on with your back? Do you have back pain? I felt like the Lord had shared that with me. And she said, no. Okay. And she said, but my feet really hurt. And so this young woman came up who was standing with me, that Jesus had told her that he loved her. And she said, can I pray with you? And she said, yeah. And she said, can I hold your hands? She said, yeah. And so they just stood and held hands in the grocery store. And she said, Jesus, I know how much you love. And she said her name. Said, in just Jesus' name, pain go away. And Lord, just ask me to heal her. And this woman who was bowed, had her head bowed, I was watching, which is fine. Jesus hears us with her eyes open. So I was watching. She went like this. My feet don't hurt. I don't know what happened. What happened? Later on in the same store, we walked by and heard a 4-year-old saying, Mama, please, can I have flowers, please? And her mom was with her mom and with her mother, and so her a daughter, a mom, and a grandmother. And they said, no, we gotta hurry. We don't have time. Let's just go. And so we snuck around and we bought flowers and we waited for them. And then they came, they checked out, and this young lady came, and she got down with this 4-year-old girl, and she said, "I just wanted to give you these flowers." And the little girl just threw her arms around her and took the flowers, and the mom and grandmother started taking pictures with their phone and saying, "Oh, thank you. I'm not the standard because Jesus is the standard. But almost daily I get the opportunity to pray with a stranger. And it's just become fun. So I'll go to a gas station and I'll just make an excuse to go talk to the clerk. I'll buy a pack of gum or whatever. And I'll just ask them how they're doing, and they'll kind of talk to me. And sometimes they'll say, "Yeah, I just don't feel very good. I'm just not feeling very good." And I'll say, "Well, can I see your hand?" And I do that, and that's what they do. They just give me their hand. And I say, "Oh, Jesus, I know that you love," and I'll say their name. "And you are so proud. And, oh, your heart is for her to be well, so in Jesus' name, just be well. And I just bless you in His name because you're so important. You bless people here. You smile at people and you make their day. And it's just such a privilege. I'm just honored to get to pray with you and to tell you, Jesus, you love me." Yes. And I've never had someone say, "Stop that!" Never. Okay, so let me see. I share those stories to say, that Jesus has actually invited us to be with Him. And in being with Jesus, we actually become like Jesus. We don't become like Jesus by learning about Him. We don't.
No.
We get puffed up with knowledge, and we can tell people about Him, and we feel like, you know, I've got good information here, and I'm a scholar, or else we deceive ourselves, and we become kind of objective, kind of disciples from a safe and unattached distance, and we're not transformed. But we know stuff, but we don't know. But when we're with Jesus, then we get this privilege of actually becoming like Jesus. Like Jesus. And then we get to do things that would be impossible for us to do otherwise. We get to pray for people and see them get healed. Not because you can heal them, but because Jesus lives in you and He can heal them, right? We get to tell people who Jesus says they are. Not because we know who they are, but because Jesus knows who they are. And it's not that I go into a place and think, "Oh, how can I pray for somebody? Or how can I heal somebody? Or how can I give someone a word?" It's this simple. It's this simple. Ask Jesus. Ask Jesus to show you how He loves you. And in the context, the seedbed of love, He will open up every good thing that He desires for that person to receive. And He will trust you to partner with Him to give it. So it's not about casting out demons and healing the sick. All that's great, and we actually get to go do that stuff with Jesus, but it's just because we get to love people. We get to love people. So stand up again. Stand up again.
We're running way out of time. I just want to do one more thing with you. I just want to do one more thing. So, just
do you want more of Jesus still? Okay. So just put your hands up. We're gonna walk around. My kids and I and Cynthia. We're gonna walk around. We're just gonna bless you. Like in 3 minutes. We're just gonna walk around and bless you. And then we're going to share something together. So just Jesus, just invite Jesus to come, and we're just going to bless you. We just want to give you a baptism of His love. Just awaken love. Just awaken love. Yes, Jesus. More. More, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Say this with me. Discipleship is not knowing about Jesus.
It is knowing Him.
It's not about simply agreeing with Him
or liking what He said.
It's about following Him and doing what He did. It's not that someday, one day, I'll die and go to heaven. It's about this day, today, I get to make the realities of heaven known on earth. It's not that I want to be like Jesus, but that I'm destined and doomed to human nature. Nor is it that I will always and inevitably simply be a sinner saved by grace. No. 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 You and I right now have been given by the power of God everything we need for godly living. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is ours right now in Christ Jesus. Though we were dead in our sins and were by nature objects of wrath, we have been made alive with Christ and are now at this moment, seated with Him in the heavenly realms. And now we have this great privilege to represent Him, to represent Him on this planet, because as He is, so are we in this world. So I bless you in Jesus' name to choose to be with Jesus, and in being with Jesus to become like Him. And in being like Him, to dare, to risk, to become vulnerable, to see the multitudes in the One, and to love the person in front of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I wish we could kneel. I have a prayer.
So you have one more thing to write. They need this room. It's the last thing. I want you to write down the thing that God gave you that you're taking with you. And then I just want to tell you, so honored to have you. Thank you for being here.